When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Shackles Are Off podcast. Now, I know what you're probably thinking. You're thinking they've gone a bit quiet. The Barmy Army's gone quiet, which is true, but it's not for, you know, it's not for any reason. It's just we got a bit tired and stuff, and you know, let's be honest, it's not been amazing for us. We had a couple of overnight events which were absolutely unbelievable, Chris, and Christmas and lots of other different things. But you know, we just thought We'll come back with a bang, and this is exactly what we're doing, isn't it, with this podcast. We're recording it just before the fourth test. England have already lost the Ashes. It is 3-0 as we record. But, well, we're just going back to what we do best, aren't we? Just getting a proper guest on, like a legendary guest. Big ups to producer Chuck as well for tracking this bloke down. Of course, we're talking about Mr. Glenn McGrath. How cool is it? We've just spoke to him. It's unreal. I mean, it's 1:45 in the morning, obviously owing to time difference. The great man has got COVID. He's sat at home. He's playing around with his kids and stuff. He pops up in the corner of my computer screen. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we're talking to Glenn McGrath. I know we shouldn't be fanboying over an Aussie legend, but he is a legend, Chris.
And he's only a legend for rolling his ankle.
No, I'm only kidding. No. And I think you've got to give credit to such a great man, the things he's done for the game of cricket, and also for the charity that he started and set up has been incredible. I said it on Twitter earlier, he is an unbelievable bloke, and everyone in cricket speaks really, really highly of him, and it's shown why. We've just had a good half an hour with him, and he's such a smashing fella. He's obviously a little bit rogue with his predictions from time to time, but he seems to have got a few right over the years as well. So He's a remarkable fellow with a great story, great cricketing career, and then a very sad story as well with regards to why the foundation was set up, which I'll let him talk about later on the podcast. But it really does strike home to you how much of a community cricket is, and rivalries aside, them being the biggest rivalries that we ever have, the Australians and Glenn McGrath, Shane Warne, Brett Lee back in the day was the fiercest bowling attack in the world, and really was an aggressive rivalry between the England team and the Australian team. But I think now when we speak to the great guy so many years later, and how much he loved being part of that great fierce rivalry and being a real talisman as part of the Australia team, but also how much he loved playing in front of the Barmy Army and being in there. And then, like you said on the podcast, Greg, it going full circle to coming back to the Barmy Army now, supporting the foundation year on year. I know to date we've raised over $40,000 for the foundation since inception, since we started raising money for them on tours over in Australia, which is amazing. And thank you to everyone who's been on a tour and bought a pink shirt or chucked a few quid in a bucket. Whatever it is, you've all played your part in raising that for the foundation. And we get into a bit more detail about what's going ahead for this test. So it was, it was unbelievable to speak to him, wasn't it?
Yeah, really cool. I mean, he's one of these great people. I'm not going to say sports people because he is, you know, he's just one of the great people, isn't he? You know, the way he stands and carries himself, and he's very impressive. And it was, we're really lucky to have a chat with him. He's actually, and it's no secret, it's all over the press as we record this, he's actually got COVID, which is a shocker because he's going to miss this pink test, which obviously is so synonymous with it. He was fine. He was all right. He was in relatively good spirits as much as he can be. So that's probably why he wanted to speak to us. Bored. Just pull your board. But no, I'm only kidding. It was really good of him to come and talk to us.
Yeah, and he's also I think he appreciates the work that Barmy Army's done.
100%.
Been on tour, so it's fantastic that he's given up his time, and that's a big thanks to everyone that supported the foundation over the years.
I agree.
And also a little nod to producer Chuck for speaking to them and making this happen, even if it is 10 to 2 in the morning.
I know. But it was worth it, though, mate. We'll remember. We'll talk about this for a while, I think, won't we? So there we go.
And also, I think we've got to just tip our cap to what's been an incredible series for the Australians. And as Glenn touches on in the podcast, they have been outstanding. And yeah. We as the Barmy Army, we support the lads through thick and thin, and we always will and always have done. But I think you have to tip your hat to how good they've been as well. Let's see where these next two tests goes. I think we can pull a test back. I think we can do it. I really do. Subject to all of our lads not being out with COVID.
They'll have the bit between the teeth now. That's the thing, isn't it? They'll have our team respond well to the criticism that they've had, and you know, fair enough, the 3-0 down after three tests, but they'll be back. They'll be back, our lads. And we're not just saying that blindly, you know. So come on, two more tests to go. Just a reminder as well, the Ashes Daily Show, we're not referring to our podcast, that was very ill thought out. The Ashes Daily Show will be taking place on BT Sport throughout the fourth test. It will be on at the end of each day with a panel of journalists. It's a really good watch that I've caught that when I've got up and done this kind of early stint. Also, it's available on the BT Sport YouTube channel as well. Just a reminder, we do talk about it. Glenn talks about it in the podcast. But if you are listening and you're sort of just meandering along about your day, just mention this now. It is worth mentioning. You can buy your virtual seat for the pink test. It's $20, $20 Australian, it's about 10 quid. And all the proceeds, all of them, do go to the McGrath Foundation. And it's at www.pinktest.com.au. And Glenn says, I mean, it's like in a staggering amount of tickets that they sold last time, and they've got a really big target this time. So it takes 2 minutes of your time, 10 quid, great cause, brilliant, you know, and for the great man, tragic circumstances, but really, really good cause. So we can't be there, so show your support if you can. Now we're going to keep on with the guests here on the Shackles Are Off podcast. But in the meantime, this one is Glenn McGrath. Enjoy.
Always love the Barmy Army and just the atmosphere it creates. Sometimes it's you want to give a bit of stick back to them, but yeah, it's been good battles and good enjoyment over the last 20, what is it? I've been retired now for 14, 15 years and played for 14 years. So yeah, a lot of great memories there. And yeah, it's a shame they're not out in full strength this year. I think England need them.
I think so. I'll tell you what, we'll get going. We've actually been told to kind of not talk too much about the cricket, which is fine by us, by the way. Absolutely fine by us. We're obviously focusing on the pink test, talking to you, Glenn. And by the way, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. It was one of these where Chris and I, we've been discussing for ages. We've had some amazing guests from all around the world, you know, some fantastic international players. We've always said we'd love to have Glenn McGrath on, and it's really fitting that you're actually coming on just before this. So it's really appreciated. But for those who don't know much about the McGrath Foundation, how did it come about and what does it do?
Yeah, so McGrath Foundation was launched in 2005, and predominantly because of the experience of going through breast cancer with my late wife, Jane, who was English, was diagnosed with breast cancer back in 1997. Then we went through the whole journey and battle for ourselves from, you know, diagnosis through operations, chemo, radiotherapy. She had incredible strength, but, you know, we got through it somehow. And then when, unfortunately, Jane had a recurrence in 2003, and the difference this time was there was a breast care nurse there, and the positive difference it made in our lives, but especially hers, was incredible. And we realized there was not enough of these amazing people out there. So that was one of the reasons we created the McGrath Foundation. We're also asked to write a book of our experience of going through breast cancer. And we thought about it for a while and we felt if we could help one person by telling our story, then it's worthwhile. So that grew into the McGrath Foundation with two very clear objectives. One was to raise awareness of breast cancer, also in younger women, because Jane was only 31 when she was diagnosed. And the other one was to raise funds to place breast care nurses in communities right across the country. So that's what we do. At the moment, we have 171 McGrath breast care nurses. They've supported more than 100,000 families, individuals going through breast cancer. So, you know, to think that hearing those numbers blows me away from where it started to where it is now. We still have a bit of a way to go. It was Jane's dream, and it's also the driving force of the foundation, is that every person, every family going through breast cancer has access and support of McGrath breast care nurse where they live. And it's a free service and totally self-referable. So that number's around about 250 we need to get to, and we feel we can achieve that in 2025. So yeah, the support's been absolutely incredible.
Amazing. And the whole concept of the pink test, I remember the first time I saw it, and it obviously has a different look. Every bit of colour on a player's shirt and around the ground and on the stumps and everything, you know, the umpires, it's all pink. And it's a different look. It's very striking. How did you come up with that? You know, obviously pink goes hand in hand with the breast cancer, but where did you get that brainchild? We've seen Ruth Strauss with the Ruth Strauss Foundation. We spoke to Straussy about the red, and that was kind of obviously almost taken off from the pink look that you'd gone for. It's a really striking thing, isn't it? When did you discuss that to come up with it? Because it's such a great concept.
Yeah, it's been amazing. I've spoken to Straussy, and it's great to see what's been created at Lord's as well. But I think back, Jane passed away the previous year, and Cricket Australia and SCG came to us and wanted to offer us the test match and change day three, which was Ladies' Day, to Jane McGrath Day. And to be honest, they probably thought it might've been a one-off or see how we go, but just that first test, what was created there, just the way people came on board firstly from the teams, you know, the Australian team supporting us, but you know, the touring team every year has really supported the foundation too. Then all the corporates, Cricket Australia, SCG Trust. But just the way the public came together was amazing. And that test, it just got pinker and pinker as it went on. And pink's probably not a colour you sort of put with cricket. I'd never had anything pink near my cricket gear growing up. But now it seems to be a colour synonymous with the test match. And I think just the way it brings people together. And I think that's the beauty of sport, that it crosses all boundaries. It just brings people together. And
absolutely,
I think there's not too many people as well that don't have a story, a personal story, whether it's someone in their family or someone close to them that's been through or going through breast cancer. So I think they have that connection. And to see what a sport and a charity can do if they combine and just everyone come together is very, very special.
It was. I was on the last tour and I witnessed the power of the pink test, and it was an incredible moment, really. We'd been fighting all tour with the Australian fans and singing in the stands, and all in good jest and all in good humour, as we do with the Barmy Army. But on pink, on the first day, which is the pink test, and we all just united and come together, and you see the Barmy Army all in the pink shirts and all the other travelling fans all dressing up and really getting involved with the day. There's a real sense of community, like the cricket communities come together for the same reason and the same cause, and it's absolutely beautiful. It's a great thing to be a part of.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And just the way the Barmy Army have got behind it, the way all the supporters from both sides, and I think that's what's made it even more special. That's what's created something special. It's just the way people have come together. And so very, very proud.
Yeah, yeah. And the Barmy Army, I mean, it's interesting. We spoke about the support with Andrew Strauss, and he was saying that actually he'd gone full circle in many ways in his career, in the sense that he'd had that support supporting him, you know, when he was playing, And then
a little different for you, Glenn. Well, not quite supporting you as a player, but
but in a way, it's come full circle in a different kind of way, Glenn, hasn't it? You know, I'm trying to find a link there in a way, but you'll feel that link, I suppose.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, I always enjoyed the, you know, bit of fun we had with the Barmy Army. You know, the Australian team did pretty well most of the time. You know, if you take 2005 out of it, I think Australia were on top. When I played, and you know, we had some good fun, but it has, and you know, our fans are what makes the sport so successful. You know, if no one turns up to the game, if nobody watches it, then we don't really have a game, do we? So the way that you guys support the English team, the support India gets when they travel is amazing. You know, we've got our supporter groups that follow the Australian team around, and to me, that's what it's about. And you've got to get out there and enjoy life. And if anything, the pink test is about bringing people together and just showing the importance of making the most of life.
Yeah,
absolutely. Greggy, he just did the cardinal sin of mentioning 05. Now, we've got to talk to you about this, Glenn. We've got to talk to you about this. We've had a lot of players from an English point of view that have been on the podcast, and they all talk about the pinnacle moments. And I think we all know what we're referring to here. What are your memories from that tour? It will obviously be, I can't imagine it a great memory, but it was a special series nonetheless.
Oh, it was an incredible series. There's no doubt about that. You know, the first test was brilliant. You know, to go to Lords, which home of cricket, and still a very special place for Australians to come to. And it's one of my favourite grounds in the world. To take my 500th wicket at Lords was very special. And then to go on and win that first test, and, you know, all was going well, and then Edgbaston, and it all a bit of a spanner in the works. And I have a lot of people come up to me and tell me their favourite sporting moment from the UK. Your favourite sporting moment is me treading on that ball. I've had Michael Vaughan say he was the one that rolled it out. Apparently at Edgbaston, there's a little plaque on the ground where it happened. But yeah, that was an amazing series. Apart from sort of me treading on the ball, I just think England had been playing some really good cricket leading into it. They had good confidence. Vaughan was doing a great job at the top, and they had self-belief that probably we hadn't seen before. And they came hard at us at Lords, and you know, we were lucky enough we bounced back. And then, you know, what happened at Edgbaston at the start of the match, and then at the end for it to get right down to the wire with you know, with Brett Lee and Michael Kasperovic batting so close, and you know, I think, what was it, Freddie that got the last wicket, or
it was Steve Harmison round the wicket.
Sorry, Harmy got it, and caught behind, and a little bit of conjecture on whether it just the hand was on the bat, but we'll leave that one. But then the remainder of the series was probably one of the most amazing that I've been involved in. And the thing I loved most about it was we had people on the streets of London and other sort of major cities in the UK come up and say, you know, I don't really watch that much cricket. I don't really like it, but I cannot miss a ball. I just love it, this series, so much. You know, you saw people being turned away from the grounds. I think what it did for cricket in England and in Australia, I think was incredible, and that series will go down as one of the best. Unfortunately, I sat there and watched from the sideline for two matches, which wasn't much fun. But even that last day at the Oval, we still had a chance. You know, Warnie put KP down on zero, which could have been an interesting finish if he held on to that one. But then KP went and smashed an incredible 100 and took the game away from us. So amazing series. And a lot of people reminded me about that one whenever they can.
It's not just, though, that the whole atmosphere, because we've not seen anything like that since, let's be honest, Chris, have we?
Yeah.
When we watch
cricket, certainly not.
You know, certainly not. I think that last series here, you know, with the Stokes day at Headingley, ultimately Australia retaining the Ashes, that came quite close, I would say, with the fever around it. But from your perspective, it's the friendships as well. You know, it sounds like a really cliche thing to say, and it almost sounds a little bit cheesy. So apologies for that. But, you know, I'm just thinking now you're with Vaughan, and, you know, when you come to the UK, you work for TMS and you're showing the commentary box with all these people. That's special because you don't see that in many sports. Fierce competitors still remaining really close pals. And that's something you can take away from it. Even if you did roll your ankle, you had to watch it. You know, you could still soak it in and maintain that bond and relationship. And that's something that's you don't really get, do you, in anything else, which I think is really nice.
Exactly right. And the guys you mentioned there, you know, we're both teams get on so well and got on so well. And, you know, I think it's that special bond. You know, with Freddie came over to Australia, was in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And he ended up winning that and he donated the money to the McGrath Foundation.
Oh, so, wow.
Brilliant. You know, brilliant.
Some great connections there. And, you know, as I mentioned, I've spoken to Straussie a bit and, you know, Cookie. And you know, us fast bowlers, we try to stick together with Harmy and Freddie and Darren Goff and Goffey and those guys. So, yeah, some great friendships have been created. And I think that's the beauty of cricket. And now with the IPL and people playing all these different competitions, you get to know the opposition a little bit better as well. Yeah. And you play alongside them. And my two stints that I had with county cricket, you know, playing up in Worcester was brilliant. I loved the season with Worcester and I was lucky enough to play a month for Middlesex in 04. So those stints I really enjoyed and I got to know a few guys I only played against a lot better. And, you know, I think just it's more what I miss is time in the change rooms, not out in the middle, but time in the change rooms with your teammates, with the opposition. You know, that's some special memories there.
Is it something that you guys in Australia look at, the county championship? We've spoken to a couple of Aussie guys on this podcast, Chris, haven't we? Mm-hmm. And I struggle to get my head around the fact that it's something that you guys strive a little bit towards. Not obviously the pinnacle.
That's minus Labuschagne about that. I think he's made his career on it.
He loves it. He loves it. Loves his seasons at Glamorgan, actually, doesn't he? And that's explain that curiosity to us, Glenn, if you don't mind.
Yeah. I don't know. I think all Australians just lifted. They, you know, to play cricket in England is very special. I know as a fast bowler and to be able to bowl with the Duke cricket ball is something I absolutely love doing. I wish I could have done more of through my career, but it's just such different conditions. It's, you know, I grew up in the middle of New South Wales out in the, where everything's brown. To come over, everything's green is something I enjoyed. But I think also just the expectations, you know, of, when an Australian cricketer comes and plays county cricket, they expect him to do well and they sort of look up to him. And, you know, it's funny. And I think that experience that you get and playing cricket on a totally professional level where it's cricket day in, day out is different to our Shield season. You know, Shield season, we play 10 games a year. Mm. Whereas, you know, you finish one match up, you know, maybe up at Old Trafford and you've got a next, you know, one day or something down at the Rose Bowl the next day. So it's just, I enjoyed playing cricket day in, day out. And, you know, there was a good bunch of lads at Worcester and even at Middlesex. So it was only when I did find it a little bit strange when I was at the Middlesex to walk up the stairs to the change rooms. And instead of going left into the away dressing room to go right into the home dressing room, I found that really tough. I used to go and sneak into the way dressing room and sit there and just soak it in for a little bit.
That's quality. Love it. Just talking about this series, I know you've obviously been in and around and doing stuff for ABC. It's great. Still going to hear you on the radio, Glenn, over here, you know, even in the middle of the night, which is great, and taking part. And that's the best thing about it. We get all the mix of the commentators. Still got Jim Maxwell involved, and it's brilliant. Love all that. That's something that's special about the Ashes. In terms of this series, it's not been the most competitive. You know, we try and support at the Barmy Army people through thick and thin, and that's what it is. It's unconditional kind of support. But it's not been the best. Even the most ardent and deluded of the Barmy Army will still sort of see that it has been pretty one-sided.
Yep.
How much delight do you take in that? I know that the classic Glenn McGrath thing pre-Ashes is always 5-0. That's your prediction. And it's looking mighty like it's going to go that way as we speak at the moment on the 3rd of January as we record this. But you want it competitive, surely. The competitor in you wants it more competitive than it is now. Surely. Yep. I mean, there's got to be an element of that. And there's a load of mitigating factors there, isn't there?
Oh, without a doubt. I've got my daughter in the background here.
You have.
So my six-year-old daughter here, she's got COVID with me, but she's in good spirits too, thank God.
That's the main thing.
Glad to hear.
you want a good close series. There's no doubt about that. I did make my normal prediction of 5-0 at the start of the series, and yeah, it is looking like it's probably odds-on favourite at the moment, unless there's a bit of weather around. But yeah, I think England just—I think they've got their selections wrong. They won the toss in up at the Gabba, which they would have preferred to lose, I think, and then lost the next two toss. So things haven't gone their way. And the big moments in the game, they've lost. There was a couple of times where in the first two test matches, if they hung on to catches, and they're fairly regulation catches, that would have had a big impact on that game. So they've just missed major moments. They haven't had things that go their way. And then, you know, Melbourne just, they fell in a bit of a heap. So, yeah, you know, they've got to find a way to turn it around. It hasn't been the best, nowhere near their best series, but yeah, they've had a lot of issues. But on the reverse of that, I think Australia's played well. Yeah. They've won the big moments. Things have gone for them. And when they've had injuries and they've brought players in, those players have performed. So you've got one side of the team playing exceptionally well and the other side of the team not playing quite as well as you would have hoped.
Yeah. Yeah, well, which is a bit sad. I mean, hopefully it's a little bit more competitive when you guys come back over. I'm sure it will be. There's going to be a big inquest.
I want every game to be right down to the wire with Australia just winning every single game. So that's
yeah, because otherwise your prediction wouldn't come true, Glenn, would it? You know,
I'd nearly agree with you on that, Glenn, but if it wasn't for the last caveat you put in there, we're the same.
It does make me laugh every single time. It's almost like, why do they even bother asking Glenn for his prediction? You know, it's very funny. It's very funny. Just go back to what, obviously what's upcoming before we wrap up. We had a message off a long-standing Barmy Army member, didn't we, Chris, off Dave Peacock, who's been on every single tour since the inception of the Barmy Army in 1994-5. He said, obviously, you know, you were playing a big part and probably on the receiving end of a lot of, let's call it, good-natured banter. You obviously enjoyed it, and you said that sometimes you want to give a little bit of stick back. It must have been great, though, playing in front of that. And obviously, most of the time, like you did refer to a little bit earlier, coming out on top as well.
Yeah. I probably made it easy coming out on top, but being a fast bowler, we generally field on the fence, so we have a lot more interaction with the crowd and interaction with the Barmy Army, and, you know, that's what it's about. And being an Australian, we love a bit of banter, you know, whatever you want to call it, sledging, gamesmanship, mental disintegration, as Steve Waugh called it, or a bit of banter is a far better term. You know, if I get a missed call from Matty Hayden, the message is just absolute abuse, but that's what you expect with mates in Australia. So we like a little bit of banter, and yeah, it's all in, like you said, all in good nature, but just the atmosphere it creates is what I miss, you know. To play in front of a crowd that's quiet or in front of no crowd makes it pretty tough. But to play in front of a crowd that there's atmosphere, there's noise, there's you know, good support is what it's all about. So yeah, it's been good fun.
So we obviously can't be there in person, not in the proper way. We've obviously got our expats there, which is great. We've got the Sydney Barmy Army group there, Chris, which will be awesome, isn't it? But we want to know a bit more about this virtual seat campaign, because obviously that's surrounding the pink test. And how do people get involved? Just tell us all about it.
Yeah, so last year, obviously the last few years with COVID, we haven't had the same crowds and people coming along to the games, to any sport for that matter. And our team came up with the concept of a virtual seat, where you can buy a seat, have your name on the seat, and then you can put it out on your social media. And we look to fill a virtual stadium. So, yeah, so all you have to do is jump online, pinktest.com.au. You can buy a virtual seat for $20. You can buy in pairs or in groups, put your names on it. You can even put a banner on it and support your team. So whether it's England or Australia this year, new concept we've come up with, or just support the McGrath Foundation. So I think it's just a way that, you know, you can, you know, provide or pay $20, get something in return that you can then post on social media. And I think there's not too many people in Australia, and I dare say England exactly the same, that you don't know someone close to you, whether it's a family member or a close friend that's been through or going through breast cancer. So there's that personal connection there, and what we're doing is making a massive positive difference in people's lives. So uh, So yeah, you know, it's I've been blown away by the support, not only from Australia, but from people from around the world. And yeah, so if you want, you're over in the UK and you want to support, you can put your little English banner across the seat and you know, post that on social media as well. But yeah, it's yeah, sometimes out of tough times, you know, you've got to be innovative and new things grow. And you know, the foundation grew like that in the first place, and now with virtual seats, it's been incredible.
I bought a virtual seat in the last test when you did that last year, and it was incredible to see. I heard the stat from someone about how many seats you actually sold that day. It's incredibly easy to do. Check out the Barmy Army social media pages to find out how to do that. We'll be posting it throughout the test match. But Glenn, what was the number of seats sold last year? Can you recall the figure?
Yeah, so we didn't know what to expect last year because you know, the crowd numbers were way down because of restrictions, what have you. And yeah, the fact that we sold 150,000 seats last year was absolutely incredible. We've set ourselves a goal of 240,000 seats this year, which is the SCG at capacity each 5 days, holds 48,000. So we've come up with a number by 5 sold out days of the SCG. So yeah, you can still see your section, and on the virtual stadium that we have, you can see which side's supporting Australia and how many people supporting England. So just little concepts to come along with, you know, make it a little different and hopefully a better experience for everyone.
If we can't win at the cricket, Greggy, let's beat them in the virtual seat campaign.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, 20 bucks, it's only like a fiver, isn't it? Yeah, with the only £5.
Yeah. You know what? I'm just looking at it now.
We're still winning on the exchange rate, at least.
Yeah, just a bit. I mean, come on. I mean, yeah, just it is so easy to do. It is so easy. And it's quite cool. You know, you can unlock all the different or more seats. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to do that as soon as we finish with you, Glenn. It's really simple to do. So it just leaves us to say, Glenn, I hope it all goes well. And it's such a shame that you can't be there. And I'm sure that when the action starts going, you'll be going, oh my word, I wish I was there. Yep. But it's going to be great. And just before we go, are you still sticking to that 5-0? I suppose that's a silly question.
I said at the start 5-0, and then after each one I just feel better and better. So at the moment I'm feeling very confident. I think there's a bit of weather around Sydney, but I think I'm still saying 5-0.
Okay, well, I've got faith,
Greggy. I've got faith. I know he's got the experience, but I've got faith in the lads.
Yeah,
we can pull it back.
Come on, like,
Glenn, before we lose you, can you give a message to the Barmy Army that unable to travel over. Ah, oh, hello. All the families. Are you able to send a message to the Barmy Army, Glenn, that are all sat in England wishing they were out there at the minute?
Yeah, just to all you guys, Barmy Army, the way you support and have supported the English team for a long, long time, it is very special. I know as a team, we used to, you know, look at you guys and sometimes feel a little envious and other times probably a little bit annoyed. But, you know, the way you guys have come out to Australia, especially the last few pink tests and supported the McGrath Foundation is absolutely incredible. It shows that you're not just all for England and against the opposition. But, yeah, it's an incredible thing you guys have created and just gets bigger and better every year. So congratulations on that. And it was always good fun. Always look forward to it. And hopefully we'll definitely catch up next time in England, be able to catch up and, get in the middle of the Barmy Army, experience what it's all about.
You're welcome anytime, by the way. I'm sure absolutely, Glenn.
Let's get him in there.
Get him in, even if it's just for 5 or 10 minutes. You know, you've got to soak it up, Glenn. Thanks so much for coming on and speaking to us on the podcast. It's really appreciated. And
absolutely.
Yeah, and just a reminder, do buy those virtual seats for the pink test. It's going to be absolutely awesome. And it's a great cause and it's a great message. And hopefully you can enjoy the cricket. So thanks so much, Glenn, and take it easy.
Absolutely.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Thanks, it's been great to chat and enjoy. Hopefully England turn things around, but we'll see.
Yeah, we will.
Thanks, Glenn. Top man.
Take it easy.
Sorry.
Cheers, Glenn. Come on, England.
Social Podcast Network.